Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I was just looking for you, and now you're here. So let's answer some of your listener questions, including some great questions about coming to Walt Disney World from down under. How about a three-week stay in four resorts? Can that happen? Would that be a good idea? We talk about that. We also talk about the possibilities of what the holidays are going to look like down at Walt Disney World this year and much more. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. We'd sure appreciate it when you head to your next Disney destination that you work with a great agent over at the Magic for Less. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please, when you do your online shopping, click through our Amazon affiliate link. It's a free way to support the show. Costs you nothing. You just make one extra click and you're set. Check it out. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And if you want a little extra content in your show, in your week, become a patron of the podcast. Just go over to patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And a huge shout out to all of our patrons. You guys make this all possible, and I can't thank you enough for that. So again, if you want to support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1768 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope this wonderful fall week is going well for you here in the Midwest. We have had amazing weather for the past week. It's been basically in the mid-70s, not a cloud in the sky, and you know, crisp, cool mornings and evenings, and it warms up in the afternoon. You really can't ask for much more than that, but much more than that would be it's SEC football week. That's right, Mizzou versus Bama, M-I-Z. Let's see how it goes. I know we have lots of Bama fans in the audience. Not quite as many Mizzou fans, but we're tough, we're ferocious, and at least we got football, so hang in there. And Big 12 fans, you can come watch us, or Big 10 fans, watch some football this weekend. We're already playing. Just kidding. Anyway, we're going to talk Disney. Let's do that today. To answer your list of questions, we have Ricky. She's also down in SEC country, down in Georgia. She's also from the mouseforless.com. What's up, Ricky?
She cares so much about football.
It's you know, you're in Georgia. It's pretty serious down there.
Yeah, that I'm well aware of, but she doesn't really care that much about it, so we're good. It's all fine.
Gotta get it. Well, you can get out there and enjoy the fall weather at least.
The fall weather has been nice. It's so I know this sounds really like sad of me, but it's been in like the 70s, and I'm kind of cold. So
you're like a Florida person. Put on the sweater.
I know. I'm thinking like I have the Florida blood now all of a sudden. So I was like sitting out on my back porch this weekend and it was a little chilly and I was wrapped up in a blanket and a hoodie. And I said, I gotta go inside. I'm freezing. So I'm in trouble. I'm just gonna say I'm in trouble. But let's be perfectly honest, it has been in the 90s and 80 upper 80s here, so to go from that to like 70, it's a pretty big drop. So I can kind of understand why my body's not quite acclimated yet.
Yeah, 44 the other morning when I got up to run.
That's so cold.
But you know, for running it's actually perfect,
so yeah, that's true.
But yeah, 44 is kind of a shock to the system. And the sprinklers were on. Ooh. I hate that. Like, just real quick, rant. They got to turn the sprinklers off on my path. Like, I know these people are like, nobody's up at 5:30 in the morning. This dude's up at 5:30 in the morning. I don't need to get sprinkled. Like, first thing, I get out the door and I'm getting sprinkled at 44 degrees. Come on now. That grass will be okay. It's September. Like, if the grass dies, yeah, the grass dies at this point. That's what I say. Yeah. So I got to get on that HOA meeting thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, you go do that. See how well that works. You don't want my thoughts on HOAs right now. Yeah, so. I'm just saying.
All right, we also have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, what's going on?
Hey, happy Wednesday. I'm just like, today, you know, some days, like, I always look forward to podcasting, but some days you look forward to it more than others, and today is one of those days where it's like, I'm ready.
Same. Yep. I've been sitting here like, Ricky, come on, let's go. Get home. I know. Let the dog out. I know. Let's podcast.
I'm sorry. I had to let the dog out. She had to go to the bathroom. So
you and the Baja Boys. All right. First question of the day from the inbox. Comes from Maggie. She says, hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, we're officially less than 30 days from hopping on an airplane and heading down to Walt Disney World. Thank you, Mike, for everything you've done for my family and helping me plan a great and much-needed vacation. Thank you, Maggie. I appreciate it. I have two planning questions because, like many of your listeners, I am the planner of my family. Number one, I've heard that the Disney buses aren't running until 30 minutes before park opening. What about the Skyliner and the monorail? Also, after the parks close, how long do the buses, Skyliner, monorail run? I haven't booked many ADRs, but I was hoping to do so at the resorts around the Magic Kingdom and the studios. All right, Ricky, so what's the official word right now for, is it still 30 minutes before park opening for buses?
I think it is. I think it's more.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, 100%. I would say definitely ask at the front desk.
I've seen them more than 30 minutes when I was down in August. I agree. Yeah, it was more than 30 minutes before.
I did too. I thought they were an hour.
Yeah, I would say an hour.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that maybe at first it might have been 30 minutes, but now that it's a little busier, I would say maybe that hour time slot is back in,
Well, too, in the sky, as far as after park closing, the Skyliner is going to run 90 minutes to 2 hours post Epcot closing. Because I did that, Epcot was closing at, what time was that in August? Like 8? And I mean, I had plenty of time. Maybe it was 9. It wasn't 9. But anyway, we had plenty of time after Epcot closed to ride around, go over to the Riviera, Caribbean Beach, and get back to Pop Century. So you have plenty of time there.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, make those ADRs too. Let's see here. With park hopping not existing right now, is the monorail still running between Epcot and the Magic Kingdom? It is not.
Mm-mm.
No Epcot line. Number two, since there are no fast passes to book, which I have to say I actually love, I've been trying to create a general strategy for us on our park days. As I follow posted wait times on My Disney Experience and add it to the attraction ride times, the math isn't adding up to be able to do all the rides, and yet I've heard so many listeners calling in to say they've got it all done and then some. Are the wait times typically shorter than what is being posted? I'm actually really looking forward to slowing down a bit on this vacation and enjoying my resort time more, but having a plan for the beginning and end of each day is helping me feel grounded. Thank you so much for your guidance. For us type A Disney fanatics, Maggie is all the way out in Spokane, Washington, across the country. All right, so I believe she is on to something, Ricky. I think the posted wait times are actually they're way conservative. Like they're posting like a 50-minute wait when a lot of people are getting through in 30 or less.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I don't think that the posted wait times are what they really the actual wait times are. I think that the people who are, and also, I mean, it depends on what she's talking about when she's talking about getting everything done as well. Like, mm-hmm. Are you talking about getting every single attraction that's open in the Magic Kingdom done? Or are you talking, because when getting everything done is it's kind of a moving spectrum for everybody. Yeah, like, totally. My getting everything done doesn't necessarily include some other attractions that other people might put on their list. So I don't know if she's meaning like literally every single attraction in the park or every attraction that matters to me kind of situation either. So that's kind of another question I have.
I agree, because like when I came back and I said, I did everything I wanted in the Magic Kingdom and still had time to spare, the thing was like I didn't ride the carousel. I didn't ride Small World that day.
You know,
there were things that I did not do. I don't think I did Carousel Progress even. But I did everything I wanted and a lot of stuff, even the e-ticket. The thing is, now's the time with the e-ticket rides. You can ride those.
Yes.
With wait times you've never seen. And it, of course, as we get into the holiday season and as people are more comfortable to travel, you're not going to see the wait times and the efficiency that you saw in August or September.
Right.
But what you are going to see in October, November, December is it's relative to 2019. You're going to get a lot more done than you could have in normal situations. Oh, Pam, get in on this. What do you think about all that?
I think, first of all, that the wait times are definitely inflated at different times. And I think that's not Disney trying to be subversive or anything. I think what happens is they're trying to, underpromise and overdeliver in some ways. And there's an ebb and flow to it. I mean, it's not like, oh, my gosh, wait times dropped by 2.5 minutes. It's no longer an 18 minute wait. It's a 15 and a half minute wait. And now, do you know what I mean? It's, they don't update that frequently. It's just not possible, first of all. And secondly, it's not something that they're constantly on top of. If they see a jump of, you know, so many minutes, then they'll increase it. If they suspect a decrease in time, they'll decrease it, things like that. But so that's the thing you have to, you know, be aware of. But in my experience, most of the time, they do, if they're going to be wrong on any, you know, side of it, they want to make sure that you aren't waiting longer than the posted mm-hmm. wait time. So, yeah. And there is, I mean, you know, I think that if you've been there a few times, there are going to be attractions that you just don't do. And you're like, I did everything I wanted to do with the Magic Kingdom, even though you may not have done like the 20-minute Country Bear show or whatever. So you can't break it down into math problems because we're not good at math here. So
no, math is not our strong suit.
But I will say that the beauty in it is not only, like Betsy said, you know, you can hit those e-ticket rides multiple times in a day, or yes. maybe when the Fast Pass days, you get that one shot at Space Mountain. You're like, eh, I don't want to ride it again at 105 minutes later. You know, I'm going to just be happy with my one ride on the Fast Pass. What the beauty of it is, even more than that for me in the situation that we're in right now, which is so unique, is that you can do all of Tomorrowland and then move on to Fantasyland. And yes. then you can do Fantasyland, yep. you can move on to Liberty Square, then you can yes. go into Frontierland. And the thing is, you're not doing that crisscross applesauce around the park constantly. You know, you're not doing Haunted Mansion and Space and then... Yeah,
right.
Because, and the thing is, I mean, I know this sounds like 1970s, but what it is like you can really... you know, enjoy the land that you're in. You know, you can even have a snack. You know, if you're in Adventureland, you can get a Dole Whip float. You can, you know, do pirates. You can do Jungle Cruise. You can see the Tiki Room, and then you move on, you know, and you can do, you know, then you go on to Frontierland. It's a really retro kind of way to tour, but it's a great way to tour. And it's not going to be
like, if anything, wouldn't it be awesome if COVID taught us as Disney folks not to make the success of our vacation hang so much on the number of attractions that you get done? Because it could be so different than that all the time. Like, and I think a different time, it's easier when you go often that it doesn't become that. But I think of so many trips that I've taken, especially at holidays or the times when it's really going to be busy. And I think about, like, I had a fantastic day today. What did I get done if I'm like counting number of attractions, maybe an attraction and
a show. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
But we saw the parade. We went out to eat here. We were with a big group of people. We were laughing. We were having a great time. We watched this show. We spent time at our resort. Did all those things. So I mean, just the potential's there. And I'm not suggesting that you know, that our listeners are like, oh my gosh, we got to get those numbers in. But it's something that I think we as humans, just like the success of a day is like, oh my gosh, I did 20 attractions today or whatever. So anyways, it'll be interesting to see how it goes as we move forward.
Absolutely. I mean, I know that, like, you know, we're living in that era right now of like quantified self. I mean, like, I have my Apple Watch on, so I got to know how many calories I burn every day, how many active minutes I mean, That's the world we live in now. So, you know, it's really hard to get away from that. You know, if I did 7 attractions in a day, like, did I get my money's worth? I mean, if you had a good day, bottom line, if you do 2 attractions, you know, if you had a good time,
and it's
hard. It's so,
that's,
I mean,
so true.
It's
definitely more the feeling of, did I have a good day? You know, that's really how it should be. And
yeah,
that's, you know, you're right, Pam. We've definitely gotten into a place where it's okay. I got this, and this attraction done. Yeah. It's a successful day. You know, what I think the number that people feel is a successful day is somewhere like between 7 and 10 or something like that. And you're right. There are definitely days that I've been to the Magic Kingdom and only did or Epcot, for goodness sake, Epcot for sure.
I've done 0 attractions.
Exactly.
At Epcot,
I had a great day at Epcot. So, yeah. You know, it's all relative on what you're doing on your vacation. And I think that's something that this is hopefully going to make us go back and experience a vacation in that way. And I think that Fast Pass has made it. And it's another reason why I don't like Fast Pass and hope that they would get rid of it, is because Fast Pass has really made it so that people are like, okay, I hit this number of attractions in a day, it's a successful vacation. You know, so that's another reason why I kind of hope that Fast Pass just kind of floats away.
We'll see. Yeah. When it comes back, though, I think I'm going to have more of like a hybrid kind of situation with my Fast Passes. I'm going to look at them slightly different, you know, where I'm not necessarily.
That's good, but that's you, and I don't know that a lot of other people will do it that way. That's kind of my theory on that, so.
All right, let's get to the next question, and it is from Jen. She's 1,010 miles from the magic, it says. So just put a dot from the Magic Kingdom and radius. So she's somewhere on that circle. Hi, everyone. Love the show. I'm so terribly out of the loop with the news for 2021 reservations at Walt Disney World. So I knew you guys would be able to answer my question. Well, kind of. Not really. I have a package booked for February of 2021, but I also want to go in November of 2021. Have they released packages for that time yet? Hoping to stay at Beach Club for a week in November. I hope they have the option for Park Hopper and dining, but I'm not holding my breath. Just want to make sure I book on time. Thanks, Jennifer. All right, Pam, lay it down. Because I don't know. I wish I knew.
I don't think no one knows at this point. I know that Disney really wants to be able to, book those, first of all, those dates and the dining packages. We all want to see them come back. And I think we're just waiting to see what that will look like. So we don't know. We really truly don't. I hope that we'll see some 2021 happen, the rest of it soon.
Okay. I know September 26th so well. I've typed September 26th. I mean, talk about a random date to type. A thousand times I've typed that date, yes.
I know, right? It's just again and again and again and again. So, but, the good news is nobody else can book it either. So you're going to see it's everyone sort of waiting for that. If you want to get in, go ahead. You can submit a quote. We'll contact you as soon as things are available and get you booked right then.
Did we not have a false alarm on the agent group yesterday that almost gave me a heart attack? I think we did, just because I thought I saw
there's been somewhere. There's been rumors flying around out there, and of course there are websites that love to take a little kernel of information and turn it into a full-blown multi-story thing.
No, it's been a couple things. But I was sitting there like, that's interesting. It's on a Sunday afternoon when I could be sitting here watching football, working on the, Disney, don't do this to me. Anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, it's one of those days. All right. Anna's got a question in the live chat. She's arriving Christmas Day. Any recommendations? Should I go to a park or do something else? Any restaurant recommendations? First of all, see the Christmas parade. Just kidding.
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm just, because for one thing, there's no parades. And for two, it's usually in November.
Exactly.
So that's funny on many levels. No, just kidding. But what do you, Ricky, you've been there on Christmas Day, right?
I have. And your jam
jams? You wear jam jams on Christmas
morning? I do not. No,
good. Thank you.
That's not.
We appreciate that. That is
that's
the correct
not my
answer.
Jam.
No jam jams.
Yeah, sorry. I've been there a few times on Christmas Day. I kind of like what we were talking about before. I go in with my expectations. Now, granted, I mean, this year will certainly be different than other years, but I still wouldn't expect to get a lot done, because I don't know how the parks will be this year. So keep that in mind. I go to enjoy the holiday experiences usually, so I will pick out whatever the holiday festivities are for that park, and that will be what I do. I don't know if she's going to be going to a park. She says she's kind of asking. So if you want to go ahead and add an extra day to your ticket, I say go ahead and do it. Huh?
Epcot Festival of Holidays.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we did last year. We went to the Epcot Festival of the Holidays. We snacked around World Showcase. We caught one of my favorite performers in Epcot, which is Joyful. They are a fantastic, fantastic group. They sing amazingly, and it's so wonderful what they do. So I think this year they're in the
World Showplace.
Yes, they're in the World Showplace this year, which is kind of cool too. That's where they're at.
That's a cool room.
So don't miss them there if you decide to go to the park. And as for dinner, I mean, you could snack around World Showcase, which is something certainly easy to do. Or you can just make, a reservation. I would suggest, if you're going to do like Epcot, maybe Garden Grill.
Here's my Beer Garden.
Beer Garden
that'd
is
be
a good option.
That'd be a good Christmas thing. I think of Germany when I think of Christmas.
Wrong there.
Santa Claus.
So that's an option too. The other parks are, fine. I really do prefer Epcot on Christmas Day. I don't know why. I've done Hollywood Studios on Christmas Day when they did Jingle Bell Jingle Bam!
Bam!
Bam! that was fun too, but since they're not really announcing that they're doing anything for Hollywood Studios this year, I would probably do Epcot. If you want to go to a restaurant at the resorts, that's an option too. I've done Kona on Christmas Day.
Christmas like Kona.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, a lot of the restaurants will have a special Christmas Day dish. So even if they're not specifically a restaurant that you would think of for Christmas, like Kona, they tend to have something that's specific for Christmas. So that's kind of nice, too. So just make a reservation for whatever restaurant, you know, tickles your fancy and go there, and they'll probably have something for you that's a Christmas-inspired dish.
Mele Kalikimaka.
Exactly.
Pam, where would you go if you had a resort restaurant to go to on Christmas Day?
It's open. Oh, man. This is my thing because I do this all the time, actually. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to a resort reservation on Christmas Day, I'm going to go somewhere that I like.
Well, I hope so. Okay. Captain Obvious has entered the chat.
I mean, not like a quick service that I like. I'm going to a real sit-down restaurant that I like.
Got it.
Right? New Year's Day, though, I'll go places I hate. So, no. A sit-down restaurant, of course. So I'm probably looking at one of the signature ones. And I hope that we see more of these open up. I saw that Narcoossee's opened up, so I'm really excited about that. Of course, California Grill has been open, so I'm excited about that. I want to see my beloved Flying Fish open up again. I'm just going to say this. They had such great food, and so I would love to see that. I'd love to spend a nice meal there on Christmas Day.
You know, in the COVID times, the Florida Department of Health is not going to open any restaurant that has flying in the title. I'm just saying, they're in for a challenge.
Right.
Yeah, these times are rough on them. All right, we have a question from Whitney down in Memphis, Tennessee. She says, hey, Mike and BOGP crew, our family of four has a trip coming up the first week of December. We'll be going to Disney World with our BFFs and next door neighbors / quarantine pod crews family of four. So I guess they've been quarantining together. That's pretty sweet. So, a total of 8 guests, 4 adults, 4 kids. We're wondering how difficult dining reservations are to get now, especially for a slightly larger party with all the new rules and regulations. It seems like since there are fewer restaurants open with lower capacity, it would be harder. But then, if park and resort capacity is also lower, does it all just even out? Overall, do y'all think it's easier or harder to get dining reservations now? Any tips for getting dining reservations for a party of 8? Would love to hear your thoughts and tips. I started listening to the show a couple of years ago, and now I'm happy to report I've turned our neighbors into BOGP fans as well. She was the grumpy runner email a few months back, if you remember that one. Thanks for all you guys do to keep us Disney fans going in these tough times, Whitney. Well, shout out to the neighbors. Look at that. We're the neighborly pocket. Love it. And I love that you guys are partying together down at Walt Disney World in December. That's a great way to go. All right, Pam, what do you think? ADRs. Harder to get. Tips for a party of 8?
My best tip for your party of 8 is to be willing to split up into 2 tables of 4. That will make things much easier. There are absolutely restaurants who just are not taking parties of 8 right now. And that's not just at Disney World. That's actually across the country. Some of our local places won't do more than 4. Some won't do more than 6. And that's just the space where we're at. There are different recommendations based on where you are according to state and even local and county governments. So keep that in mind. If you're willing to split into 2 tables of 4, though, I think you'll be fine. I will not say that reservations are without challenges right now. Although you can typically get something, it may not be your first choice and it may not be your first time. Be aware that because of the restaurant, the spacing issue and the percentage of how the restaurant can be full, that there's a lot of empty tables. So one of the things that is happening is they're sort of spreading out that dining time. It was so funny because Steve and I were in the pool one day when we were down there at the Contemporary, and we had already been to California Grill, but I was looking and I'm like, okay, where are we going to go tonight for dinner? Because we just hadn't made plans. And Steve's like, there's a California Girl tonight. I'm like, oh, okay, what time is it? And he's like, 10:50. I'm like, oh,
that kills me. That's almost breakfast for me.
That's late. That's very late. So anyway, just be aware of things like that. So you got to be flexible in your time and be flexible in your party size. But go and have fun. The restaurants that were open, we really found that we were able to, you know, have most of the things that we wanted to order there. Like if they were restaurants that we had been to a few times, the fan favorites were there and available to us. They also had some other creative things for us to try too. So really liked it, enjoyed our time there. It felt great.
And now here's what I would say too, for Whitney, just from my knowledge of what I see every day, because I do this every day with guests, is that people are booking very close to their travel dates right now. So I'm getting a lot of bookings. It's September. I'm getting a lot of people booking trips for October and November right now. I mean, they're just like, we're going, we're going to do it. We're excited. We've missed it. We're going. So here's what I'm saying. On that 60-day mark for your trip, get on there and book those because, you know, for one thing, nobody can be in front of you. You know, if your 60-day mark, you're going to have good availability. Do 2-4s if you got to. That'll be fine. You know, you're going to see each other all the time. You can be away. You know, you can have 4 and 4, you know, for 45 minutes at dinner if you have to. But the thing is that there's a lot of people that might be down there in December that might not book till November. So you're way ahead of them, you know, or October. So just put yourself in a good spot there. And kind of follow up on that one. I'll get to your question, Laura, in the live chat here, but this is kind of the same thing. No, well, it's kind of related. It is from Sean in Maryland. He says, hey, everyone in the BOGP crew. My wife decided to keep our wine and dine trip booked and actually use the AP discount to upgrade from Pop Century to a split stay at the Contemporary and the Riviera. Now, that's an upgrade, man. You're going from Pop to the Contemporary and the Riviera. Like that. We're excited about the dining options, but wanted your opinion on indoor dining. So far during COVID, we've usually eaten outside and are a little hesitant for eating indoors in a restaurant. I'm in the restaurant industry myself and know how much work goes on behind the scenes to make it safe. So my concern isn't the restaurant itself as much as how many people are in the restaurant. Was it noticeably less crowded inside? Did you feel safe? Coming from the East Coast, I've mastered the mask wearing, so our only hang-up is the crowds at the restaurant. Also, super off-topic, any idea when the Epcot monorail will be running again? Thanks so much for all you guys do, Sean. No idea on the monorail. I would say maybe, possibly maybe at Christmas time when they have more demand. We don't know. Okay, back to the dining, because we all have experience with this. I will say that they are, just like Pam just said, they're very much spreading out the tables and they're very much being careful of how they seat you, that you have your mask on until you sit down. I mean, for example, when we ate at Liberty Tree Tavern, we ate over in the Diamond Horseshoe. I mean, that was like an annex and it was very spaced out over there, but the meal was still awesome. You know, so they're really, Pam, I think you said it. I mean, they're taking this distancing and the indoor dining very, I didn't have any problems, but I mean, I've eaten inside a couple times here. But it was so spread out down there that, you know, and I think that's what we get back to with making your ADRs, because there's, you know, 50% less tables, but it also makes you 100% more safe when you're having your experience in the restaurant. Is that what you think,
Pam? It's true. It's absolutely true. I mean, we eat out here and I felt much safer at Disney World than I did here, I will say.
Yep.
Like it was like night and day. And not that I'm saying that people here aren't being safe, but I will just say that, like, you know, when we go to a restaurant here, there are people just, you know, human nature. You like are getting close to each other and you're whatever. It's just the way it sort of is. And plus, I mean, we have a lot of little small places we go to. These poor people, like these poor restaurants, they have to not only do the capacity limit in terms of the percentage, but they still have to be 6 feet apart too. Yeah, yeah. So it's a lot for some of these restaurants that only had like 8 to 10 tables to begin with. I'm not sure how they're making it. And my heart goes out to them. Really and truly, I want to see all these local restaurants survive. But at Disney World, they're all big spaces. You're not going to a little hole in the wall. So your ability to, even though I watched the way that the hostess sat us, she took us sort of around different places.
I saw the same thing.
Yes. To sort of limit our exposure to each other. So I really felt very safe doing it completely. And in so many of the restaurants at Walt Disney World, especially at some of the signature ones we went to, the servers themselves not only had a mask, but they also had a face shield as well. So it makes it a little challenging to hear them. So extend a little grace in that space. But yeah, I felt very, very safe.
It is so different, though. Get to, but like the thing with like the face shields, because they did, the servers I had down when I was down there had the face shields on as well. In like the first meal, I'm like, oh my, this is so weird. I'm like being served by like a stormtrooper or something. You know, it's like it's bizarre, but no kidding. By like the second day, I didn't even notice it. Like it was like they had on their, you know, their costume. You know, it was part of the deal. Like it goes away quickly, especially if you're coming from a place where you're not. He says he's from, you know, Sean's from the East Coast, where he says it's, you know, more prevalent. I'm from Missouri, where we don't see it a whole lot. I mean, we're playing football. We have high school sports. You know, Mallory's cheering. We're out in the country for these games. There's not a lot of mask wearing out there. You know, it's just, it's weird, you know. But, I mean, like, I accustomed to it really quickly. So, even if you're not, Ricky, I mean, I saw the same thing. Like, I felt really safe.
I have to say I felt more spaced out at Walt Disney World than I do here. So, you know, we'll go out to restaurants here. And while most of the time I do request to sit outside, if the option is not available to me, you know, I will sit inside. But I have noticed that I've been seated closer to people here inside than I was when I went to Walt Disney World. So they definitely take a very large space for guests to feel safe. You know, there's a bubble around, you know, not a real bubble, but you know, like there's a bubble around people so that they feel like they're safe while they're dining. So you know, I definitely feel like Disney is doing a really good job in that space. So yeah, I agree. I think that, that I felt perfectly fine while dining, so I get it.
And the thing, go ahead.
The other thing is you know, if you are super uncomfortable, you know, just make sure you wear your mask pretty much the whole entire time until you get your food. Or if you want to take a drink or whatever, you know, then take the mask off and then put it back on again. You know, because there are people who will sit around without their mask on the whole time. So, you know, just do what you feel comfortable with, too.
Yeah, I will say, you know, like when we were down there, we ate at Olivia's. You know, it's my favorite restaurant, but we asked to sit on the patio and it was beautiful. Yes. Like we were outside still having a sit down meal at Walt Disney World. We also went to Geyser Point, you know what I'm saying? So there's outdoor dining there. And, you know, so there, if you think outside the box, you know, maybe we come up, I think there are some lists floating around of like outdoor dining locations that have it. Now, when I go to Olivia's, I'm not guaranteed I'm going to get the patio, but if I'm willing to wait, I could probably get the patio.
Exactly. If it's important to you and you want to wait, I mean, absolutely ask and wait. I've done that here, you know, at restaurants in Georgia. I've said, I will wait for an outdoor seating area if you're, you know, that's fine, you know. And so you can do the same thing if there's a place at Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and ask, and they will be more than happy to oblige. You just probably will have to wait a little bit longer.
Yep. All right, next question from the inbox, future trip from Down Under. Hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm looking for advice on a future trip to Walt Disney World that is very much in the dreaming about stage, but hopefully when international travel restrictions are lifted and the world is back to a bit of normality, we can actually make it happen. Our family of four, two adults plus two kids in their late teens, are planning on a three-week Orlando stay that'll be mostly Walt Disney World, but with a little Universal thrown in there too.
Hey, there we go.
A little salt and pepper there. Gotta have it in there. A little spice. I'd really like to do a split stay to experience as many different resorts as possible, but without feeling like we're having to pack and move too often. Do you think we'd be pushing it to do three Disney resorts plus a Universal resort in 3 weeks? We'd really like to experience a value, a moderate, and a deluxe, if at all possible. Many thanks in advance for all your help on the matter. Kate is down in Sydney, Australia. And by the way, Kate, happy spring to you. Look at that. I'm so jealous. No, I'm glad it's fall. I like fall. Yeah, but happy spring. All right, so I'm going to throw this one to the queen of the split stay.
Yes.
I mean, she is the monarch of the split stay.
She absolutely is.
She's everything in the split stay. Pam Forrester, take over.
I am. So we can have a four-night trip and I'll be staying at
Freedom. Exactly. You would do this in four nights, yes.
It's true. And, you know, one of the reasons why is I always want to be personally checking out the hotels because I feel like there are things you learn staying there that you never learn in all the training and all of the on-site inspections and everything else that we do, staying there actually gives you a different perspective. It just does. There's things that you only learn when you stay there. So love to check them out. But one of the things that makes a split stay possible for me is packing cubes, which I talk about all the time, but use them for probably going on 15 years here. We have, you know, just use them for forever. They make things very easy. They keep your bags organized. Packing and unpacking is literally less than 30 seconds. As long as when you take clothes off or whatever, you put them either back in a packing cube or in the laundry bag, which, oh my gosh, that's a Magic for Less travel booking bonus that we offer to guests. So, and
real quick though, Alfred, yours is on the, I promise, I hit the wrong thing on Alfred's booking bonus and he needs his, Alfred is on me about that. Going to get your laundry bag. Just so you know.
Yeah, you're going to want that because I use that all the time too. So that's another thing. Another thing that I really do, and oftentimes one of the ways that we'll do a lot of split stays is like that first night we'll be staying maybe someplace that maybe was not like my preferred place to stay, but like I want to check it out because it's been a year or so since I've been there. So we'll be staying there for one night before we check into a hotel where we're going to spend like maybe two or three nights. I will pack either a packing cube or a suitcase specifically for that first night at the hotel. We don't touch anything in any of the other suitcases. My whole family will attest this. I'm like, no, you can't get into that suitcase
because
we're not getting
suitcase.
Into it till tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So totally happens. So you have makes you think a little bit too before you pack, but that helps do that. Just be thoughtful in the way that you're planning. You know, it's not that hard. You don't have to feel like you're taking so much time. Some people love switching resorts and some people feel like they're wasting time. And I think the difference in opinion on that is sort of how organized you are and make yourself be, you know, leading up to the switches. It just is. And I'm not like being critical of those who don't enjoy the process. I completely understand it. It's your vacation. You get to do what you want. But I love checking out different resorts. That's part of the fun for me. The one thing you do have to note, the sort of downside, is that there will be a period of time where you have to check out of the resort that you're staying at. And it's not quite check-in time at the new resort you're going to. And Disney is being very strict. They are really not allowing late checkouts anymore. It's just not possible with the enhanced cleaning that they have to do. There are oftentimes your rooms may be available, but never, never, never did I say never bank on that happening. Never bank on getting into your room early. You'll be disappointed every time and you'll be wasting your day waiting for that room to become available. So my suggestion is always just plan that switch day. Go over to the new resort, drop your stuff off, and then go do something fun. So,
and I would say, you know, 3 weeks, definitely do this, because you're right. I mean, for me, the resorts are, it's at least half of the fun of a vacation at this point.
Yes,
probably more.
For sure.
You know, like, I look for, oh, man, I get to stay at, you know, Pop Century for a little bit. Then I might move over to Coronado, check out the tower. Then, hey, you know what? I'm going to treat myself to Yacht Club on some kind of a discount. Like, and then, you know, go over stay at Royal Pacific at Universal or something like that, or Hard Rock.
Yes, I mean, if you're going to Universal, you have to stay at a Universal hotel. I'm just going to tell you that. It makes things so much easier. And stay at one that offers Express Pass. It's worth it every time. So.
Jennifer in the chat says she does that for the cruises. One suitcase for the cruise, one for the land part. And
right. Shout
out to Alfred, live from Walt Disney World. The train made it to Florida.
Woo-hoo.
Wow. Good job, Alfred. Animal Kingdom Day. I've been following along closely. All right, last question of the day. It's from Laura. She says, can someone explain kids riding alone? This is the first time we will be going with four kids, three of which will be tall enough to ride most rides now. Can my 7-year-old twins ride together so that I can ride with my 4-year-old while the hubby stays with the baby and then use rider switch so they can all ride twice? Oh, my gosh. Just like a math problem from when I taught sixth grade. My head kind of hurts. Let me think. Okay, so we got 2 7-year-old twins, a 4-year-old, and a baby. So the baby's waiting with dad. They're doing rider swap. Seven-year-old, you can't ride by yourself yet. You're too young. There's like a rule with that. I want to say
it's 14, I believe. But on some of the things, they're kind of flexible in this space. Like if mom is riding and they're riding in front of her, sometimes they let you, but you can't again, bank on it. So
the rider swap, though, and Dan's saying to say they're 8. I don't know why I'm thinking 9. But here's, yeah, you're right. If mom rides like behind him with the 4-year-old, then they could probably sit like in front. I'm picturing like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train for some reason. I don't know why I'm picturing that. But the kids will definitely get to ride twice on the rider swap, though. They will. Because when you swap the parents, those two kids can probably ride again. Because I remember like Paige used to get to ride twice on everything. Like, well, we did the rider swap with Mallory. God, it's been so long. I feel like I'm losing it.
So that's what they're trying to figure out. They would have to choose.
Well, so yeah, the 2 7-year-olds would. Okay, so they ride with mom and the 4-year-old. They all ride. Dad's waiting with the baby. Well, mom gets off, watches the baby. Dad comes on, and the kids can all ride, I think, again.
No, I think it's 8 is the age of
Everybody's saying eight in the chat.
Yeah.
Huh. And then I think it's 14 if the parents not there at all, like riding the attraction with them. But
I would just ask a cast member. But yeah, at least one of the kids will get to ride twice.
Yeah.
But I bet you they could all ride twice.
But you know what? I mean, yeah, but then you have issues of, oh, well, she got to ride twice, or he got to ride twice.
I'm not parenting here, man. This isn't a parenting question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying.
All right. Well, that's clear as mud. And that's how rider swap always is.
I mean, you can always, you can always ask the cast member when you get to the park. That's the best advice I can give. So.
And Betsy says 14-year-olds can ride with kids younger than 8.
Right.
So then the 14-year-old becomes the adult.
Can be, right. But that, you know, there was a situation, an unfortunate situation I was behind once. The mom didn't want to ride. The child wanted to ride. This kid was nowhere near 14. And she was just pretty much like, well, why can't he ride by himself? And the cast member was like, no, like you, you have to be like, she wasn't going to ride the ride at all.
Okay,
he just wanted to put him on the ride, and the cast member was like, absolutely not, we do not do that. You have to be at least 14 to be able to do that yourself.
Now I'm
gonna
check, because now they're saying the minimum age is 7. So
okay, now Dan's saying it's 14 to enter the park alone. So now we have all kinds of different variables, like we have the X,
I don't
y,
know
Z
about the enter the park. I know it is to ride the ride. So
minimum age requirements for Walt Disney World. Here we go.
Yeah, because this is the last question of the day.
I know, right? Okay. Children under 14 must be accompanied by a guest age 14 or older to enter the following parks. So that's what it is for entering the parks. So
I would say just ask the cast member, you know, because the thing is, too, I mean, you know, It's totally, and that's what Betsy says, it's going to depend on the cast member. Of course, there is a policy, but the person who's working the queue is the person who's going to have the final say anyway.
Right.
So. They are. But the issue will be that for a safety issue, Disney is very likely to stick to their stated policy. There's other things that they may be a little more flexible on to try to help you out, but probably safety issues they will not be.
I agree.
Right.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for today's show, unless Ricky has...
I think it's 7. So they should be okay.
7 and 6'3", right?
Yeah.
No, just kidding. All right. Well, cool. That was clear as mud. So we'll follow up.
Yeah, just ask a cast member. That's probably the best thing to do. Yeah.
All right. We are going to close the show out. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today. Just drop by themagicforless.com. They got great information there if you're planning a trip. You know, there's tools there. Even if you're not planning a concrete trip for like next month or December or something, you can look at the resort guides. If you're just missing Walt Disney World, it's a great place to go and see all the pictures, all the room layouts, reviews, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you got restaurant menus. You got all the stuff that if you're just dreaming, it's a good place to go. But if you're getting that planning going, it's your first stop. So drop by there, check out all the resorts, everything you want to do. Then fill out that quote form, mention the Be Our Guest podcast, and you and I are going to be planning a great trip. I love doing it. We have a great time planning all these trips, and we're going to make sure you have an awesome trip at the lowest price possible. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And if you want a little extra content in your week, become a patron, patreon.com/brguestpodcast. Mike in the Midwest, one of the shows coming up soon, is going to be about the time I worked at a haunted house in Fenton, Missouri. It was called Silo X.
Yep.
Yes, it was a nuclear fallout shelter kind of thing that glowed green with fog, and I was the second actor that you would encounter. And let me tell you, it was one of the most fun jobs I ever had. So it's going to come up. If you're a patron, you're going to get that show here soon. If you're not, come on over. I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss it. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Also, join us on Discord. Go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com on the right-hand side. Click on the join us on Discord. It's a chat room. We chat all the time. We share pictures. We have a good time. 24/7. So join the Discord. Also, follow us on the social media, Instagram and Twitter, at BeOurGuestMike, at BeOurGuestPod. And give us a follow and a subscription or whatever that is over on YouTube and Facebook. Like us, Mike, on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube.
I have an answer from Disney.
Oh, my God. We're still doing this question? Come on.
Yes. Okay. As for the attractions, they basically do not have an age limit, although no child under the age of 7 can ride unaccompanied, no matter if they meet the height requirement. So if you have children 7 and under, they will have to wait until you can ride with them or another guest who is 14 or older. So that's the answer.
I gave up on that question 5 minutes
ago. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is from Disney, though, specifically. I wanted to get it out there that was the specifically Disney-sanctioned answer.
Okay. You heard it here first and second, yes, and third.
There and whatever, yes.
So we are going to be really smart about this, and when we come back together on Friday, we're just doing a Would You Rather show. It's not going to be a compliment.
That's not
it's very simple, very easy. And the thing is, you know, if you're carpooling, maybe your kids are back in school, taking them to daycare, maybe you're just sitting around the table. This is one for the whole family. I get a lot of people emailing saying, you know, we like the show because we can listen as a family. The kids can listen. So join us on Friday and have the kids join you and you play along with us. Which would you rather do? So we're going to do that coming up here in just about 48 hours. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wish you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening and we'll see you real soon.